Train wreck.
Now, Lea Williams and Henry Goodman star in the final part of Charlotte Corey's comedy drama series, Find the Perfect Partner for You.com. This week's episode is called E equals MC squared, the mathematics of speed dating.
Find the perfect partner for you.com. The Norwegians were quite right. The non-inclusion of speed dating heuristics will adversely affect my final information entropy. So, here we are. The purple horse at Hoban. Oh, Professor...
Tony! You're back!
Oh, Vice-Chancellor.
How was Norway? See any good fjords?
Well, the drive from Trondheim was in the dark, and I slept most of the way, crushed under a stout researcher from Romania and a petite professor from Ljubljana.
If the car has been charged up to your research account at the East Greenwich and Lewisham combined, I trust you took names and addresses so we can issue these freeloading foreign research institutions the necessary invoices.
I'm not sure that I...
Joke, Tony! Ha 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 ha! You mathematicians always take everything so literally. How did the conference go?
Oh, fine. Plenty of good leads for further numerical analysis. Oh, in fact, I'm following up on one... Right now.
And plenty of tall, leggy Norwegian postgraduates ready and willing to come to the EGLC to carry out innovative mathematical research. Under you?
I beg your pardon?
As it were.
He can't have heard about that Russian girl who insisted on taking off all her clothes. Can he?
It's early days, Vice-Chancellor. A number expressed an interest.
Good. Glad to hear it. What a valuable opportunity for them to associate with a mathematician of your undoubted genius, Tony.
Oh, well.
And valuable for us, too, in that we need to generate considerably more overseas student income if we are to meet the rent arrears on the EGLC Senate House. It wouldn't look good for the university to have the bailiffs in a major term now, would it?
I knew we were struggling. All universities are these days, but has it really come to that?
And another thing. Arabella is very much looking forward to her wedding invitation. Or has it got lost in the post, somewhere between here and Norway?
Well, I'm not sure that
you know what the ladies are like. In fact, you seem to know very well what the ladies are like, Tony. I hope I'm not betraying her confidence if I tell you that she's already been to Parker and Follington's for her hat.
Her hat?
A bespoke millinery creation that cost a considerable sum of money. So, I hope you'll be generating some of that overseas student income we've talked about in order to pay for it.
For a hat? Oh, heavens. I meant to buy a bobble hat or something for Angela at the duty-free in Trondheim Airport.
I'll ring off now, Tony, and leave you to get on with your number crunching. But don't forget, all we need from you is the time, the date, and the venue, and we'll be there, hat and all.
Why on earth had I told the Vice-Chancellor I was getting married? It was to avoid Friday evenings, when Arabella offered me up to her divorced, widowed and long-term single women friends, as if I was some brilliant solution at the end of a lecture.
And in conclusion, when you take into account all the evidence that I have provided, X now, finally, equals Y.
Come in.
Ah, Angela.
Back safe and sound, I see.
Oh, yes. All went very smoothly. Oh, and thank you, Angela, for arranging the car. I'm very sorry, but I didn't have time to buy you anything in the duty-free. I was going to get you a bobble hat.
Well, I wouldn't wear a bobble hat anyway. Now, I do need you to sign off this expenses form so I can get it into the finance office.
Oh, yes. There we are. Tony. Yes. Good.
Thank you. Oh, and, by the way...
Mm-hmm?
I've handed in my notice.
Your notice? That's very sudden.
They sent a memo round asking if anyone would like to take voluntary redundancy. I put my name down.
Well, I don't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. I shall miss you.
I shall miss you too, Professor Tony. But there you are. Times change. Must go. I need to get this form copied and filed.
Oh, well, probably for the best. She has been at the same job rather a long time. A change will do her good. Right, I'd better get a move on if I am to get to the Purple Horse this evening. Oh, I'd better take Moody Two Shoes, find the perfect partner for you, use a number with me, just in case she signs with a different name as they tell you to. Ah, there we are. 65537. How extraordinary! That's Fermat's largest known prime. I nipped home to change. Oh, it was a relief to get back into my rumpled linen jacket and was about to leave the house when...
Oh, not Marjorie, surely.
You have to be joking, Tony. I'm not wasting another Tuesday evening at the Royal Greenwich Ballroom with you. Humphrey and I are waltzing our way around the dance halls of Europe, making up for lost time. Oh, Humphrey.
Oh, Marjorie. But you really are going to have to work at your signipated hairpin and the outside spin.
Oh, yes, Humphrey.
Miles King, of all people.
Oh, no, sorry, Miles, I can't stop. I'm just off out.
Then I'll come with you, mate. Where would you go?
What? That's none of your business.
I'll need a word, Prof. About Kylie.
Kylie? Hope you're treating her fairly, Miles. Lovely girl. She's always had a special place in my heart. I think a man never forgets his first find the perfect partner for you date.
But that's just it, Prof. She ain't treating me fairly, as you put it. When I met her, I had no idea. She's an ID addict, you know.
Good heavens. Is that some sort of new drug that I should know about?
No, it's internet dating.
Oh.
There's a lot of us get hooked on it, I should know. There's no point in them finding a perfect partner because they always think there's going to be someone more perfect.
Yeah, I can see that is a hazard. I suppose you thought you perfect with your Cayenne supercharged...
Got it in one, mate. I was Mr. Perfect Partner for all of 2 days.
Well, if it's any consolation, I was her perfect partner for all of 2 minutes. Look, oh, Miles... I'm going to be late.
What are you going to the Purple Horse in Oldman speed dating evening? Take the waiting out of wanting, come to our evening of fire, fun and romance.
Why? Are you going?
I might be.
What? Then I suggest, Miles, that you go to the Black Velvet Rabbit or the Green Goose or the Scarlet Hare. Oh, there's also the White Cat and the Grey Swan. So you'll have plenty to choose from without coming to the Purple Horse.
Which is where I assume you're off to, right, Prof?
Well, no, I'll tag along with you.
Oh,
there was no time to argue. We arrived at the Purple Horse in Holborn to discover an astonishing scrum. This was random search at its most extreme positional notation.
Blimey! The queue's halfway down Kingsway. Organisers must be coining it.
Miles was in his element. He shoved us to the front of the queue.
Excuse me, emergency! I've got a doctor here, let me through!
Where's the doctor? You Burke. You was Dr. Tony before they made you professor. You can get us in.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Once at the front, he began disputing the fact that he hadn't booked in advance.
Sorry, sir, rules is rules. But you're on the list.
Oh, she handed me my badge and checklist.
You're through there, over on the table by that wall, number 7.
Oh, that's lucky. Thank you.
I watched as Miles was jostled outside. Even his powers of persuasion were insufficient to get him in. I can't say I was sorry. I found table number 7 and took up my position. Apparently, the women have to move from table to table, introducing themselves, while we men stay sitting. I looked down my list. She was there. Fermat's last prime was coming tonight. I was destined to meet Moody Two Shoes at last. But first... Not since I'd been at school had I encountered anything like it. All that pushing and shoving... But I had very bad eyesight as a child, still do. And nobody had noticed, so until the age of 11, they all thought me a bit stupid. Then we had an eye test, and they discovered that I'd been all through school and the 11 plus without being able to read the blackboard.
And then I got National Health Service specs, and I could suddenly see, and I went from being the class dunce to the one they had to hold back. And then I went to grammar school, and why am I telling this woman this?
Oh, very interesting. I like a nice biography from the library. So, are you going to ask me anything about myself, or are you going to spend the whole of our 5 minute slot talking about you?
Oh.
You. Because shall I tell you something?
Oh, go on.
You and all the men here are very, 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 very boring. Oh, did I say boring?
You did.
And I've had enough of short, fat, bald, self-obsessed men.
I'm not bald or fat. I'm over 6 foot tall.
Who think they are God's gift to find the perfect partner for you, telling me about their sorry little lives. And shall I tell you something else?
Yeah.
I am not going to bed with you. I'm not even going to accept a cup of foul tasting coffee.
Well, I don't blame you.
Are you taking the... You snooty, superior so-and-so?
Excuse me, please. I can ask you to keep your voice down. You are ruining the evening for everyone.
I don't care! You get off me! You mislead me! You nasty, nasty man!
Oh, dear. She seemed very upset.
Nothing to worry about, sir. There's always someone who has a meltdown. We have medical staff specially trained to deal with these eventualities.
I was so shocked, I just sat, staring.
Why so plain and old and unattractive that you haven't even asked me my name?
I'm sorry?
How do you know I'm not the perfect partner for you? You haven't even given me a chance.
Oh, look, here, have my handkerchief.
Thank you. My husband left me, you see.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
He went off with my best friend.
That's awful.
So I lost them both in one fell swoop.
Oh, that must be hard.
It is. I miss him. I miss him so much.
Yes, I'm sure you do. But you'll get over it. Time heals.
Oh, don't give me that. I shall never get over losing Bobby.
Your husband?
No! My best friend! My little chihuahua!
Oh.
I've got a picture of him here.
Oh, what? Oh, could I perhaps have my handkerchief back? But she was gone, and so was my handkerchief. I then met a terrifying woman who talked 10 to the dozen and called herself Blonde Bombshell. And she was followed by...
Gotcha!
Joanne, what are you doing here?
I love speed dating.
Do you? What about Roger?
Oh, he's here too. Goodness, this place is crowded. He's somewhere over there.
Oh, I scanned the room, looking for Joanne's red-faced, angry husband. But the room was alarmingly full.
Oh, yes, we come every week. It's a bit of a hobby.
Well, isn't it meant to be for, well, single people?
Oh, why should they have all the fun?
But most people are looking for a perfect partner. Well, a partner, anyway. You're just having fun. Do you think that's fair?
All's fair in love and war, Tony. You should know that by now. Oops, there's Roger looking this way.
Oh.
Who's that tart he's with? Right, madam, by the look of her?
Yes, Blonde Bombshell, I think you'll find she's called.
Oh, by the way, Tony, you haven't anything coming up on your allotment.
What?
Not a single stalk of rhubarb. Roger trampled the whole lot.
Oh.
He's a very jealous man, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, good evening. Mandy Glossop.
Oh, good evening. Mandy, I'm Tony.
Yes, I can see that from your badge. Now, if I can just get my... Oh, yes. It's working. Oh, you don't mind if I record this, do you?
What for?
My shorthand's hopeless. I'm writing a piece for Glorious, the women's glossy.
Oh.
Speed dating and the older man. Or something equally inane. So, if you don't mind answering a few questions...
You're not actually here for...
Speed dating? Oh, goodness, no. You have to be joking. There's not a decent man in the room. I could see that the moment I walked in. Now, if we can just get on. I need to file my copy tonight.
Well, I'm not...
Last person they sent got involved with someone, apparently. Never actually wrote the piece. Very unprofessional. So, yes.
Well,
It's working now. Have you done this before?
No.
Why not?
Well, I'm not sure, really.
Okay. Well, let me phrase it another way. Are you actually here looking for your perfect partner? Or are you looking for a bit on the side? Or are you just having fun at the expense of all these poor, unfortunate single women who can't think how else to find themselves a bloke?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Oh, for goodness sake. You're a fat lot of use. Have you any idea how difficult it is to get these commissions with Glorious?
Well, no.
There's people who would kill for the chance to write for them. Or to be featured in them. But you... Oh, goodness. My blasted machine hasn't been working. Not that you said anything worth recording. Seems to be stuck on pause.
Oh!
Mandy Glossop and her uncooperative tape recorder were gone before I could say goodbye. And talk of speed dating. Faster than the speed of light, another woman was sitting in her place. For a moment, I didn't recognise her. And then... I stared. I could think of nothing to say.
We meet at last.
Moody two-shoes. Sarah, talk of a Lawrence strange attractor. I went on staring. If ever an invariant set of differential equations had come together in a phase plane, this was it.
Professor Tony.
Moody two-shoes.
Midnight magic.
Sarah.
I thought you were in Oslo eating parsnip soup.
No, I missed the conference dinner. And anyway, it was just pickled herring.
Have you finished your paper yet?
Oh, the one you refused to edit?
On random search algorithms. Or are you here doing research?
Oh, on boy meets girl catastrophe theory? No, no, no. No, I came to look for you.
Ah.
Well, I saw you put your name down.
Tanya put my name down. But it wasn't my name. She called me Sarah Smith.
Oh, well, luckily I recognised your number. I'm a mathematician, remember? I recognise numbers, and yours is Fermat's largest prime, 65537.
Oh, is it?
Well, you hadn't noticed.
I never particularly notice numbers. I've always had great difficulty remembering postcodes and PIN numbers. I can only just about remember my date of birth because I seem to be writing it down so much.
On your profile, yes.
Tanya filled that in.
Your bossy ex-school friend.
She came this evening as well. She called herself Blonde Bombshell.
Yes, I met her. Yes, she called me a soppy twit.
She called me a soppy twit too.
That makes two of us. Oh, would you like to hear something funny?
Yes.
She told me that though you seem to think you were at school together, she can't remember a thing about you. She isn't even sure that she was at school with you.
I'm not surprised. She buys prize cats and gives them fake pedigrees and sells them. She has businesses and lovers coming out of her ears. But she's been kind to me. I've had somewhere to live and something to do these last weeks.
And Queen Victoria?
Oh, that's nearly finished.
Oh.
I'm taking it round to Francis Parker in the morning.
Francis Parker? Not the Francis Parker?
Yes. You've heard of him?
Oh, he's one of those people whose obituaries you read and you can't believe that he hasn't died years ago.
How astonishing to think that you've heard of him. He'll be so pleased. He feels forgotten by the world. I try to visit as often as I can, but the trouble is the work is tedious and he can't afford to pay me. And I'm terrified that when I take him Queen Victoria, he'll give me another biography to edit on Napoleon Bonaparte or Boadicea. And I dread to think what they'd be like. But he's so lonely on his own.
Yes, I know the feeling.
Ah.
Perhaps you'd like to come and visit me sometime.
Oh, Tony. I should love to.
Oh, there is a problem.
You're not married or living with someone, Most of the men here are.
Yes, I'm beginning to get that impression. I'm starting to think, actually, there's a whole set of data that I need to build into the random search model, connected with seriously false data and misleading cycle trajectories.
But you...
Oh, me? No. No, no, nothing like that.
What is it, then?
I promise you won't laugh.
I won't laugh.
My vice-chancellor
thinks that I'm going to get married.
Oh.
Now, I sort of gave him that impression to stop his wife pairing me off with her dreadful friends. Oh, you promised you wouldn't laugh. His wife's already been to Parker's and...
Not Parker's and Vollington's.
Yes, to buy her hat.
Oh, well, then we'll have to get married. I mean, to give Mrs. Vice-Chancellor...
a chance to wear it, yes. I'd love to take you dancing.
I can't dance.
You'd soon learn.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes our evening of fun, fire and romance. If anyone wants to make contact with their perfect partner afterwards, they can do so through the Find the Perfect Partner for You website. The ladies are to leave first.
She leant over and kissed me on the cheek, which was strictly against the rules. And she left. I sat there staring at her empty chair. I walked home in a daze.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom.
In the morning, first thing, I switched on the computer to find the dating site had been wiped. Gone. All gone. As if it had never been. This is a disaster. Only one thing to do. I pulled out Who's Who and looked up Francis Parker, an address in Earl's Court. I took a taxi there and rang the bell.
Are you the doctor?
Oh, no, I'm...
I called a doctor.
Oh, may I... aren't you well?
No, I'm feeling pretty dizzy.
He led the way back into his cavernous study and sat down in a great sea of papers. I went into his equally messy kitchen, poured him a glass of water and brought it back for him.
Oh, would you get that for me? My solicitor's coming. I'm going to change my will. Oh. I had left everything to a girl who used to work for my publisher. I was very fond of her. But she's let me down. Badly. Far too busy gallivanting round the dens of iniquity in the outer reaches of Islington to finish editing my biography of Queen Victoria.
Oh, but I'm sure she...
No. I'm now bequeathing everything to the dog's home.
Look, stay there quietly, Mr. Parker, and let's hope that this is the doctor. I opened the door.
Oh, are you the doctor?
I'm Mr. Parker's solicitor. He sent for me.
Well, I hardly think this is the time. The man is really not well.
Then that suggests this is just the right time.
No, well, look, he seems far too frail to...
I don't know who you are, and I don't see what it has to do with you.
Is that you, Mr.?
You see? Can't even remember your name. The poor man is in no fit condition to attend to legal. He does need to see his doctor. Oh, excuse me.
Oscar, I'm Parker's doctor.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness you've come at last.
Who are you?
I'm trying to convince Mr. Parker's solicitor here...
Hello?
That he must see his doctor before he attends to any paperwork.
Well, quite right, too. So, where's my patient?
Through here.
Right.
I led the way back into the great shambolic room, where Francis Parker was sitting, as befitted a man of letters, bolt upright in his armchair, surrounded by mountains of unpublished manuscripts, with the glass of water I'd fetched him untouched on his desk. Dr. Foster felt his pulse.
I'm sorry to have to tell you, gentlemen, that my patient is dead.
Dead. Francis Parker's dead. I was just talking to him a minute ago.
He must have passed away while we were at the front door.
Dr. Foster completed his formalities and departed, and I was left with the solicitor. We were still a bit shocked.
So, Mr. Parker's will, leaving everything to the girl from his now defunct publishing house, will have to stand?
No doubt about it. I'd better get in touch with her at once. It's one of the conditions of the will that she has to come over and live here as soon as possible. He was most particular about that.
Why?
He didn't want burglars breaking in and making off with his Sèvres, or Marie Antoinette's hairbrush, or any of his other unique treasures. She has also requested to quickly organise his funeral.
Ah, I should like to attend.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be most welcome. If you give me your contact details, I'll let you know where it's to be held.
It's most kind of you.
I doubt whether there'll be many people there, but if you would be so kind as to pretend you read about the funeral in the papers, you saw an obituary or something, in view of how much she's inheriting, I shouldn't want her to know that we have...
Oh, no, no, of course. I made my departure as swiftly as I could, and at the appointed time, I went to the crematorium. I saw the solicitor and Sarah standing at the front. She was in floods of tears.
Tony!
Sarah, I came as fast as I could. The dating website's been completely altered. I presume it's changed hands. I couldn't find you anywhere. And then I spotted Francis Parker's obituary in the paper. I knew you'd be here. I've come to take you to Red Pomodoro's or El Dorado's or wherever else you please.
Have you ever had that feeling when you're happily dreaming and you can't wake up because you are already wide awake?
Yes, all the time. It's called mathematical improbability, Sarah. Our chances of finding each other in all this infinite dimensional world were zero. Almost surely.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
In the final part of FindThePerfectPartnerForYou.com by Charlotte Corey, Henry Goodman was Tony, and Leah Williams was Sarah, Angela, Joanne, Helga, Mandy, and Verity. Sam Kelly was the Vice-Chancellor, Carl Prekop, Miles, and Roger Hammond, Francis Parker. Other parts were played by Stephanie Georgeson, Alexis White, and members of the cast. Original music and technical presentation was by David Chilton and Lucinda Mason-Brown. When you
walk in a dream, but you know. Thanks for telling me the truth, Tony, about the money and the dog's home.
I didn't want to tell you, but I didn't want to lie.
I think we should go and rescue a dog and call him Parker.
Yes, little fox terrier who needs a good home.
We can take him to the seaside. When you walk
in a dream. But you know. FindThePerfectPartnerForYou.com was directed by Gordon House and was a Gold Hawk Essential production for BBC Radio 4. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore. Amore, that's amore.
Tomorrow morning, Midge Ure examines the use of the middle eight, a clever middle section which builds musical tension. It's a technique that's been used to great effect in the work of, among others, Bruce Springsteen, Mozart and the Beatles. Midge, who wrote the middle section of the Band-Aid single, still the UK's most successful record ever.